Anyway.
I never heard Hello? Jackson 5 do it.
Anyway.
This is interesting that this is working.
To a degree, yes.
Hello, hello.
Anyway.
Are you trying Matthew?
No, I tried calling Matthew. Matthew, it bounced. It didn't come up with any.
I would normally text him, except I can't because I'm driving.
Is it dangerous to text and drive, Kirby?
I can text him.
Yeah, why don't you try texting him?
No, get Kirby to do it because it's dangerous. You never know what might happen while driving and texting. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 375. I'm Adam and Waffle. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
And what is your bird hero doing about bonsai?
Debbie Melrose.
Sarah Jane Smith, the Young Doctor's assistant.
Andy Nunney.
I'm only 749. I used to be younger.
And Mary Lang.
Turn around, Doctor. Facing this way.
What's that?
That was one of the best bits, I thought.
Jason Chuang has just come online and said, "Hey, Adam. Hey, Jason." Anybody who's listening into the show, Kirby is using an old-fangled phony thing to actually be on the podcast. It really does. So anybody who's listening via the microphone on the live feed, obviously it's going to be a bit difficult to understand. Tough. I'm only joking.
It's not exactly. I'm using my phone connected with Skype.
Yes, we know how it works, Kirby. Yes, it's
Skype. It's not a phony thing.
Yes, Kirby. Yeah, we do know how you can have Skype on your phone.
Adam,
me and Mary have had it on for ages.
Is Robert joining us?
Is Robert joining us? I haven't had any notification that Robert might be joining us.
He was still up and communicating with me.
I'll try anything twice.
He's been talking. He's been downloading Jackson 5.
But has he indicated that his dear wife is going to allow him on the show? No? Okay. Well, he appears on podcasts with Mary, doesn't he, Mary?
Well, we don't do it anymore, but we
still know about that. We're talking about podcasting at the moment.
Alexa, what time is it in Western Australia?
Oh, for goodness sake. Doesn't matter, he's up.
Oh, missus, that's what she said.
I'm guessing it's 1 or 2 in the morning.
I know, I hope Jocelyn doesn't open up. I'll be getting him into trouble. But I'll be obviously passing the blame on to someone else. It was Debbie, wasn't it, who suggested that we contact Robert?
No, it was Mary.
Was it Mary that we suggested we contact Robert at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Me.
Oh, is it you? Is it okay? Point to that if he doesn't like it.
Well, he's signed off.
He's not answering anyway.
I don't know if that means anything.
He's not answering, so don't worry. Right then. Okay.
I wanted to comment to Debbie. The quote that you picked, that's kind of odd, don't you think, that Sarah introduced herself as the young assistant of the doctor?
The assistant of the young doctor.
Well, she said this. She says, I'm the young, what is it,
I'm the assistant.
Somehow she put it, where it sounds like either the doctor is young or she's young.
It's quite an ambiguous.
She was being Imappeal.
Anyway,
actually,
Robert didn't answer.
The author was making her Imappeal.
Okay. Moving on. We're talking about Seas of Doom, listener viewers. or going to try to, at least, so wish me luck. Right, so... We begin with a sort of wintry sort of scene of snow. There's lots of overlaid snow on these scenes.
Master?
Oh, good grief.
It took several weeks for the fake snow to fade in that quarry. But it's the same quarry that we see in episode 3.
Okay. So anyway, there's these scientist explorer type people, and they find this sort of pod, which looks a bit like a ropey old Easter egg, to be fair. And they take it back to their lab and start poking at it. And it looks a bit like a Christmas pudding, actually, doesn't it, with the snow on it like that? Sure.
What's a Christmas pudding look like?
Like the pod, but with a bit of holly and something and some brandy in it and stuff like that.
I wouldn't know.
Okay. We could always Google it, Kirby. So anyway,
Not right now. I'm driving.
So they found a pod, and they're curious about what this pod is. But they find it in a layer of snow and ice that has been out around for thousands of years. So obviously now it's quite ancient. The Doctor, meanwhile, is having a chat with some chap called Dunbar, because he's been sort of summoned by UNIT, I suppose, sort of examine what's going on in Antarctica. And while the Doctor and Sarah are essentially travelling to Antarctica, some things start happening to the pod, and then we meet the very strange Mr. Chase, who's a bit obsessed with plants.
Boy, what an interesting character.
Mm. An understatement.
And we find out there that Dunbar is a bit of a puppet, or it's a bit of a double agent in some ways, but he's a puppet of yeah. Chase anyway.
He's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Yes?
The actor who played Dunbar also caught chickenpox from one of his kids,
yeah.
And made at the end of everything, a lot of actors got paid a lot more because they couldn't fire him, so they had to renegotiate contracts.
Oh.
Because he appeared in episode 6.
And then Boyce turns up. John Challis. Who plays Scorby. I tell you what, though, as an actor throughout this, I'm going to say it now because I don't say it now, I'm going to forget. As an actor throughout this whole story, he gets better and better as the story goes on, and I really do like his character and his relationship with the Doctor throughout this story. He's very funny.
What did you call him?
He's Scorby. Boyce. Known as Boyce yeah. from Only Fools and Horses.
Scorby. So where are you getting this other name?
Only Fools and Horses, darling.
How am I supposed to know that?
You're supposed to be an Anglophile. Only Fools and Horses is one of the most legendary British comedy series of all time. So you should have heard of it.
Maybe for you.
Yeah, maybe for you.
If you look it up, it's one of the top comedy series of all time in Great Britain.
Come on, Kirby, you wiki the living daylights out of all the actors yeah. on Doctor Who. I'm surprised
you
didn't.
I think, do when I'm sitting in front of a computer.
I think Andy's just fallen off his chair in shock, haven't you, Andy?
No, I haven't.
I knew it.
I don't actually enjoy it.
I don't say enjoy it, but it is one of the top comedy series of all time.
Unlike all of the American shows that get broadcast overseas to you guys, very little British TV gets broadcast over here.
Sometimes that's quite a good thing, but there are certain series that you may miss out on. And Blackadder is something that you should never miss out on, Monty Python and not the 9 o'clock news and things like that. However,
that was a good series.
Only Fools and Horses is a classic, but it's something you have to like, really, to sort of the trouble is it's one of those things that's been repeated over and over again on UK Gold. Or UK TV as it's now.
Well, I'll try and look it up. By the way, it's raining. You can probably hear the rain.
Yes, sound effect.
Wow. Anyway, so Doctor and Sarah turn up at the base, and Sarah does some really good. Sorry, Elizabeth Sladen does some really good. I'm really cold acting, and they have a. Oh, because what we forgot to mention was that one of the scientists got attacked by the crinoid pod as it opened. And he's very quickly turning green. So is he going to get? Is he getting angry? Is he going to become the Hulk? We don't know yet.
She may do some good cold acting now, but for the rest of the show, she runs around with her coat flapping open.
Master.
Yes.
I thought that the pod attacking the arm scene, both in this episode and in the later episode, was extremely well done for. Practical effect.
Yes, dear. So anyway, the Charles, I think, is the one who is dying and changing into the crinoid. And they take a blood sample out of him and realise he's changing into a plant. The Doctor, meanwhile, goes out for some reason.
Now, are you hearing waves or not?
I'm not bothered.
No, not hearing the rain at all.
No, I'm not hearing.
No,
any
are
rain.
You hearing? You're not hearing my navigation either. Good.
No, I'm not hearing that. I'm all trying to talk about an episode of Doctor Who at the moment. So anyway, the Doctor rather stupidly, really, goes out into the snow and to find another pod. Probably would have been a better idea, considering what happened in the rest of the story, to leave it where it was. But nevertheless, he goes and finds it.
He needs to prove to himself that he's right. That's the problem.
And therefore put the whole world in danger.
Say goodnight. What? Right, hang on. Right. Can I interrupt slightly? Somebody wants to say goodnight. Say night-night.
Hello. Goodnight. Night-night, darling.
Did you get that?
And don't call me Grandad again.
Right. He's just run off back into his bedroom, so he's gone to bed. So okay. Thanks for that, folks.
Right, so...
Read Lord of the Rings upstairs. I can hear that.
Yeah, poor thing.
Wonderful
book.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
Master?
Yes?
Master, this is back concerning the story. Do we ever find out why the Doctor does not take the TARDIS...
No, we don't, because he can't steer it properly, and he needs to be make sure he gets there. Isabella,
yeah?
Come in here a minute.
Isabella,
come in here a minute.
That's it
now, preferably. All right, come in here. The lovely Mrs. Melrose. You remember that lovely lady, very tall and
yes.
Pretty, glasses,
yes.
Loud laugh.
Yes.
She'd like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Isabella, are you free on Saturday between 1 and 3?
I think so.
It's Isla's birthday party. We'd love you to come.
Okay.
And help me with the games and everything, if that's okay?
Yes.
Thank you, darling.
No problem.
It's at the same place as last time, Church Hall.
Yep.
It's too far to go.
Aww. Just over the road.
Yeah, just over the road.
Isabella just mouthed, what's the fee?
No,
cake.
I did not.
Cake and marshmallows.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Right. Thank you.
Everything's 5 minutes from everything else.
Anyway, back to the episode.
Thanks, Isabella.
No problem.
Bye. Right, what did we get up to? We got up to the Doctor bringing back the pod and, sort of putting everyone in danger. And then Scorby and Keela, is it? Turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Rather randomly, and just sort of accepted into the little huddle of people, offered a drink.
If there was whiteout conditions, how did they get there?
What did Kirby say?
If there was whiteout condition, how did they get there?
Oh, thank you. Maybe they used the Doctor's TARDIS. I don't know, but they got there nevertheless.
And they're just more determined.
Obviously, their mission is to acquire any pods that may have not, because they're actually after the pod that's burst, but they don't realise there's another pod until.
Well, Scorby even says the chase pays well.
Yeah. So, and then of course at the end of the episode, the other chap, the other beardy chap, Winlet, is it? Anyway, he gets attacked by, or killed Winlet. In fact, by the roaming Charles, but he didn't get eaten by him. He just gets attacked by him, and Charles Crinoid goes off into the snow, which I thought, bearing in mind that the ice makes the pods freeze, it would probably not the best idea of the Crinoid to go out into the freezing temperatures, but nevertheless it does. Meanwhile, Scorby is...
You want logic in a Doctor Who story?
No. Scorby is a psychopathic maniac in this episode. He's threatened to kill everyone. and basically... waving guns around and being really tough and smashing things willy-nilly, and you got Keela, who's being really sort of apprehensive and sort of scaredy, and looks a bit like the Doctor out of Voyager as well, and I thought and makes for quite an amusing double act, really. So basically they keep flashing back to scenes of Chase demanding the pod, and in the process of smashing things up and pretending he's, a member of the team via radio, and then smashing the radio up, Scorby is just, you can understand why he became a comedy legend, John Chalice, because he really, really was quite funny in this story.
the actor is good. I love him in this.
And yeah, so they end up getting tied up in. Oh, this is later on, isn't it? So they get tied up by Scorby. This is the Doctor and Sarah. And there's some so funny little scenes with the Doctor when he's sort of in those situations. He's been captured and he's got his hands up and he does his funny Fourth Doctor smile to everybody. And there's quite a lot of that going on in this story, which makes me chuckle. Eventually they're threatened into revealing that the remaining pod is in the freezer, and then instead of just killing the Doctor and Sarah or everybody simply by shooting them, Scorpius decides to have a bit of fun by setting a bomb and blow the whole place to smithereens, but put them in the little hut where the bomb is. And there's a funny little. When I watched the scene of the crinoid sort of chasing the Doctor and Sarah around this little room, I really imagined the Benny Hill theme playing as they were chasing around the thing. So eventually the Doctor comes in and very cunningly manages to lock the crinoid in the hut just before it blows up. Of course, that therefore kills that crinoid. So, you know, if the Doctor hadn't found the other pod and left it where it was, that would really be the end of the story. So we'd have a two-parter. But...
Yay! No. No, I don't mean that.
No, no. So, yeah, so...
I think Lillian would have liked that.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, so triumphant Scorby returns with the frozen pod, and Scorby does give him a couple of warnings that he should be a little bit careful with it, because it's killed a few people. And the Doctor and Sarah talk about their mission to the double agent, which is Dunbar, and Sir... So what's his name? So there's so many knights in Doctor Who, I can never remember which one's which.
Is it Thackeray?
Sir Colin, that's the one.
Yeah, Thackeray.
Yeah, who seems to be in charge of the anti-chase people. Anyway, so the Doctor and Sarah head towards, I think, somewhere, I don't know why, but then John Scott Martin threatens them with a gun. He's normally a Dalek, everyone, John Scott Martin. Anyway... But they manage to get away, and in the boot of the car, they find a picture, which therefore takes them to an artist who's a bit of a chain smoker. And that artist says, well, where'd you get this painting from? And it was Mr. Chase, so that therefore leads the Doctor and Sarah to Chase's house, and the Doctor gets dressed up as a sort of a chauffeur, sure. But still got his scarf on underneath, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
And so they infiltrate the house. Beautiful gardens, eh? Beautiful gardens. There's a weeping angel in the gardens. Anybody notice the weeping angel?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're sort of doing a sort of slight ballet pose, but it's definitely there.
Weeping angels, we've just lost Kirby.
Have we? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, thank the Lord for small mercies. I wonder why we're actually getting through the episode quite well. then we have the first meeting of the Doctor and Chase, where the Doctor, who's got his hands up and does his charming smile, which is always very, very amusing. And
he does that a lot.
Oh, he's
the
back.
Caught inside too.
Yes.
I don't know what happened there.
Maybe that you went through one cell into another and the signal dropped, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so there's a bit of conversation going on, and I think Chase, who's very excited about having his pod, is quite keen on getting somebody infected by it. So the first candidate,
yes.
The first candidate after trying to escape is Sarah, and the Doctor's watching all this going on through the conservatory roof, but that's how the episode ends, basically, the cliffhanger of Sarah's arm being held out while the crinoid pod does some opening and closing with green paint in between its little openings. But nevertheless, the Doctor causes a commotion which enables Sarah to get away, and they are
I win.
Hey,
that's what the Doctor says. It's a whole long conversation which I can't repeat right now because I can't
well
look
good
it up.
Well, that's a good thing. Hey, you have to do it from your car more often.
At the end of it, the Doctor says, I win.
Okay. But anyway, but Keeler is left in the room, and the pod attacks him, which thrills Chase, of course. And he immediately gets angry. Oh, no, he's just turning green because he's turning into a plant. He gets such a lot of sympathy from Chase, which is also quite amusing. And he gets carried off to a little cottage, but his sort of collapsing acting is quite funny, where Hargreaves and Chase sort of carry him to the cottage. And then Scorby's really like a loose cannon at this stage, I think. He doesn't know, you know, which side to be on. He's sort of being vicious and scary towards the doctor and threatening to put him in the mincing machine. And then he's starting to realise that Chase is a bit mad. And, of course, Chase and that are just watching Keeler turn into this crinoid. And it was quite interesting, the fact that, you know, he's turned into crinoid and he's able to converse with Chase. But I remember, obviously, the previous chap that turned into crinoid, he was just unconscious. He
didn't talk. He didn't communicate. Almost like they changed their mind with the way that they evolved or something.
But Kirby's got an answer to this, Debbie.
What?
I know he has, because he just made a funny noise. Yes, Kirby?
What? What did you say I was doing?
I thought you were going to come up to an answer as to why that this particular crinoid infected... What?
No, I don't know why this infection is different than the other infection.
Does...
Well, I attributed to the fact that I thought that because Keeler is a scientist, you know, that he would be more, you know, I don't know, involved and so more able to do that. Whereas the other guy that got hit, he was just one of the guys at the base. He wasn't the scientist. So I think he was just in shock.
Don't get me wrong. It doesn't really bother me, but I just thought it was interesting. I just thought it was interesting.
Master?
Yes?
Master, are you doing Facebook Live? Because I told some other people that I'm hoping they're watching.
Well, I am. I've already told you that Jason Chuang has said, "Hey, Adam," and Debbie Melrose said, "Oh, look at that magic, bless him." She's really paying attention to the podcast. And then Jeff Waddle said...
But Debbie's watching the feed and being on the show. Okay.
No, I just happened to flick through Facebook when it came up saying Adam is live.
When
and
it
I thought
came
I'd
up,
see if
she said...
Jeff Waddle said, "Be careful with that Keep Fit bike." That did it for Colin Baker. That's Deb's Keep Fit bike, by the way, behind me. Right, so back to the episode. Now, where do we get up to after that interruption? Oh, yeah, then Mrs. Duckett turns up.
Oh, she's great.
I wonder if this was...
it's his spirit animal.
I wonder if she was the sort of inspiration for Keeping Up Appearances. Yes, another classic British comedy, Kirby, you've probably never heard of.
I'm very aware of that one.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that one they did broadcast here. They did broadcast that here.
Okay. Yeah, because she turns up and she's actually doing some espionage for Sir Colin. And and then Sarah turns up at the cottage and finds Keeler. And then Keeler's given a lovely dish of raw meat. And yes, and then Ducat, has a sort of conversation with Chase, saying that Chase owes her money for a painting or a drawing that she did for him. The real reason there is to find out what's going on with Sarah and the doctor, which she does, because Sarah's hiding behind a knight sort of costume, and she's able to
suit of armor.
It's a knight costume. And as they would convey the problems they're having to Miss Duckett just in the nick of time, because the very suspicious Scorby almost catches them in the act. Meanwhile, the doctor is put in the mincing machine.
Hooray!
But Sarah, very amusingly...
he's not going to get minced.
Very amusingly, Sarah comes in, and instead of switching the machine off, switches it to faster, and the doctor's reaction to that's quite funny.
That was good.
And what was weird, if you watch that scene in greater detail, is the fact that when she turns it and it goes really fast, she claps her hands and then turns it off, which I thought was really, really funny. She just claps her hands three times and then turns it off.
It was a comedy moment, wasn't it? That's why I cheered, because it's like funny.
Yeah, brilliant.
And remember that she did the same thing happened in Android Invasion just a couple of stories ago.
Yes, what, she clapped her hands three times?
No, she turned the dials the wrong way.
Oh, okay. Anyway, meanwhile, the crinoid is out, and is a bit hungry, and Dunbar ends up being its meal. Yum, yum. So while it's out in the gardens, Chase thinks it's a good idea to get his camera and snaps some photographs of an alien creature, an alien plant. So I have skipped on a little bit because obviously the doctor has now enlisted Scorby into his little team. After Scorby initially was thinking, oh, no, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give the crinoid what it wants, which is the doctor. And the doctor gets Scorby on side when he says, can you make a bomb? And Scorby's very excited about the prospect of making a bomb, of course.
Yes.
Interesting, the fact that this is the only time we hear the crinoid speak during the whole story, but we do indeed hear it speak. And
apparently Mary Whitehouse got very upset as they essentially showed how to build a Molotov cocktail.
Yes, I was thinking that while watching it, actually. Yeah, I'm not surprised she got really upset. But anyway, so Scorby lobs this thing out to distract the crinoid so Sarah and the doctor could escape. And the doctor, I think he escapes and drives off back to some society of some variety, while Chase decides to take pictures of the crinoid, and then it looks like he's going to get killed by it. And this is the scene when the doctor arrives at this society place to have a meeting with Sir Colin. We meet the man who should have been the brigadier. He's got all the brigadier's lines. And then later on, we meet the man who should have been Benton. He's got all of Benton's lines. And even though these actors are really, really good, it's just weird to have unit officers that are not ones we know.
Master?
Yes?
That entranceway is just it's the entrance to Television Center.
Is it? Thank you for that, Kirby. Alan T. Butcher says, has Kirby got his head in a bucket today?
It's a bouquet.
It's a bouquet, apparently.
He's going to do his part from a bucket.
Yeah. So, anyway, Sarah has a conversation.
Alan, tell Alan, well, he can hear me.
He's driving, Alan. He's driving. Anyway, so
I will be off of the interstate highway in about 2 or 3 minutes.
I don't care. Be quiet. Anyway, so
it will be a lot easier to hear me and for me to hear you.
Hooray!
Jolly good.
Right. So the doctor phones Sarah up, but in the middle of the phone call, the crinoid disconnects the phone wires. Chase gets sort of instead of eaten by the crinoid. Yes.
No, the crinoid tells some other plants to disconnect.
Yes, the vines. This is still a crinoid. The crinoid is... Right, I'm going to deduct a point for that one.
Okay.
So we're going to do a... essentially, a crinoid is in control of all the plants in this particular story, everybody. So I was right. So minus one.
Okay. Well, you've got the scores up.
Yeah.
I believe Lillian asked for a extra point for Andy.
Yes, I was going to mention that, yes, because I was being such a gentleman.
I love the way Lillian's trying to get interactively involved in the scoring system of the show. However, I've just accidentally... I've deleted a post. However, because that is there, therefore it's going to be 1 point deducted for Andy instead. So I love the fact that the listeners are trying to get involved in the scoring system of the show.
That's unfair.
So,
that's not fair.
Why should I put
minus one and minus one to Andy? There we go.
She's usually watching the feed, isn't she?
Yeah, she's not on today.
I do love my job. Pardon? What is going on with this?
Right?
I said pardon. That means, what did you say? As in pardon. Oh, he's gone. Right. Is everybody still there?
Who are you asking? What are you asking?
I can't remember now. I was trying to do a podcast about
Lily,
Doctor Who story.
She is watching the feed.
Oh, I don't know if Lily is watching the feed. I'm sure she'll let us know if she is.
She's not. No, she's not even on Facebook.
There you go. Well then, Ality Butcher says, isn't it a bit dangerous for Kirby to be driving with a bucket on his head?
Yes.
In the front.
Anyway, back to the story. So Sarah and Scorby are now teamed up. They tried to get Hargreaves on side, but he's very, very loyal to Chase. He's very worried about him because he's acting a bit strangely. And then even Scorby tries to get Chase to come to his senses and then realises while the house is getting surrounded by killer vines that he better sort of side with the Doctor and Sarah. So the Doctor returns with some unit soldiers and squirts some weed killer at the vines and manages to get inside. Episode 6 is the climax of the whole story, really. So the Doctor and Sarah get out.
That's what she said.
Chase sort of is doing some evil smiling. The soldiers fire lasers, a very strange looking laser, has to be said, at the crinoid, which sort of annoys it, really, enough for the Doctor and Sarah to get away again. The new unit soldiers and that help the Doctor, and of course then become mincemeat fodder later on in the episode. There's a great scene in which a great big tentacle launches itself through the window and waves around a little bit. Even though obviously it does look a bit plasticky, I thought that was really quite effective, actually, that particular tentacle. I enjoyed that. And then you've seen the scenes with Sir Colin and the Colonel, and you think that really should be the Brigadier there. It's so frustrating because the lines that he has, it makes you think that he knows the Doctor really well, and he can't. You've never seen him before, because obviously he's got the Brigadier.
The Brigadier is on this one really long holiday in Geneva.
Yeah. Anyway, so Scorby, when the Doctor gives him a rifle, which I thought would be quite a nice thing for him, suddenly goes a bit mad and runs off and gets himself killed. And then
I went between cells again there.
And then the sergeant ends up being...
Hey, you're clearer. I can hear you better.
Hey. The sergeant ends up being plant food. And the next person that's going to be plant food is going to be Sarah. So the Doctor sort of jumps in and rescues Sarah and then almost gets caught by Chase. And there's a little bit of a battle. And Chase becomes... After trying to drag the Doctor in himself. So an airstrike is called, and for once an airstrike actually happens and does something half decent in Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yes.
We get one in a couple of stories that does nothing, even if you hold your ears and open your mouth.
Yes, dear.
That made perfect sense, Kirby. Couldn't understand the words you said, Kirby.
Now you know how it feels, Andy. I'm only joking. That was a joke. Anyway, so yeah.
In Hand of Fear, when they are going to blow up the nuclear plant,
yeah,
first of all, it doesn't happen, and second, everyone's standing around with their mouths open and their fingers in their ears, as if that's going to help.
Yes. Anyway, so the airstrike, there's a great explosion that they did for this particular blowing up of the house and the plant. I thought that was quite impressive. And then basically the Doctor and Sarah go back and have a little friendly chat with very happy Sir Colin and then go off on holiday to the Antarctic. I wonder if that's the same beach ball that Sarah had in the John Pertwee story where they thought they were going on holiday.
Oh, probably,
But
you know what I wonder? The Doctor says that he must not have reset the coordinates. Well, so they couldn't have returned there.
Very good point, Mary. They didn't go to Antarctica via the TARDIS.
Because they didn't get there by the TARDIS.
Indeed. Brilliant. They must have forgotten that while doing this story. Anyway, right. Seeds of Doom, everybody. That was Seeds of Doom. Now I say it's a thoroughly enjoyable Doctor Who story. You could, if some people find it boring, it depends whether you find it boring or not. If you find it boring, you think it's too long. If you enjoy it as it is, it's a great. It's so sad we don't see the unit people we recognise, because this is essentially the last traditional unit story. The story itself is a really, really good one. It's a bit like Day of the Triffids, but done Doctor Who style. The characters in it are great. Some are a bit superfluous, like Miss Duca. But on the whole...
But she was great.
Yeah, so much.
He stole it.
Absolutely, she was good.
Yeah, she really did.
And of course, John Challis, Scorby was a shining star as well. So, but I think that's actually really, really good. I know people won't like this one because there are, as there is in Doctor Who, this time of, a few not so much plot holes but inconsistencies and stupidities and stuff like that. But I think this is probably one of the better six-part stories in Doctor Who. I really, really like it. It's not quite as good as Planet of Spiders, but I really, really like this one. Much better than last week. What did you think, Andy?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I mean, it was. It's a six-parter normally. I mean, I hate six-parters normally, but this one actually really worked and ran along. There was a lot of continuity. There was the story flowed, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It didn't drag, which is what normally six-parters do. And I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, good story.
Debbie, what did you think?
Ooh, I'm a bit more controversial. I know a lot of people have been going on about how good this one is. I didn't. Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, it was. I was trying to sum it up to Tom earlier over dinner, and I said, I found it a bit meh for a Doctor Who story. And the simple fact that they take, what got me probably on the back foot with it was the fact they flew to where, you know, to get the pod rather than just hop in the TARDIS. And, you know,
that's not the only time that's happened.
No, I know, but it annoyed me because I was like, why, when it's this urgent, has he not just gone TARDIS? It's
but he wanted to make sure he gets there.
To not use it, you know, what he's always relying on, loved to death. To suddenly just go, yeah, let's forget it for this story was a bit odd. And I felt it was too long. I felt some of the characters
That's what she
were said. Great, but you know, and just some of the characters were brilliant, but some of the characters were just superfluous, as you said. But I just couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't get into it as much as I could last story. I just wasn't as involved with it, and I split it over a few days. You know, I didn't watch it all in one go, so then you get annoyed of a six-parter if you do it in binge watch. But yeah, it was just I'm sorry, I just
not good enough.
Not up there for me. No, sorry.
Is this the first time you've seen it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go then. Need to see it a few times. Kirby.
I'm willing to try it again because everybody says it's such a good one. But
not
I was
everybody.
I just wasn't overwhelmed.
Kirby.
Sorry.
Kirby.
Is it my turn?
Well, your name's Kirby. Okay. Last time I looked.
Well, we've told you sometimes it's hard to understand if you said Debbie or Kirby.
Give me that old chestnut, problem. Otherwise points will be deducted.
No, you deduct points when we're going to, who did you say, Debbie or Kirby?
Get on with it.
Anyway, as I've pointed out before, this one was a weird hole in my watching. Apparently I watched it back in 1980, haven't seen it since, and couldn't remember anything about it until I decided to go ahead and order the DVD because it's one of the last ones I didn't have. Got it last week, put it in, and thoroughly enjoyed it. I know there's been this controversy with people online saying, some people going, this is the greatest story ever, and some people will not, but it wasn't super great. I mean, City of Death and stuff is a lot better, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was seemed the right length, and I liked how it was split apart, and I'm glad to finally see another one that I haven't ever seen before.
Well, that's good then. I think we know what she's going to think of it, but nevertheless, here's Mary.
Well, I'm undecided about this one. I did read where Tom Baker did not like this script, and he didn't want to do this, but they had no choice because there was a two-parter and a four-parter that they had rejected. The four-parter ended up in the next season, The Hand of Fear, but they had to do this one. So he had a meeting with Hinchcliffe where they talked over, you know, how he could do this to make it like more interesting to do. And between them, they decided he should play it angry and scared and dark and really throw himself at it in a dark way. And I think the result in that regard is amazing. I think this is the best story, the best acting I've seen out of Tom Baker yet. Yeah, there are stories to go yet, but he really did play it that way.
He did a lot of snarling in the story, didn't he? It was quite funny.
Well, yeah, but it was kind of crazy smiling. It wasn't
snarling, as in...
Oh, snarling, yes. Oh, yeah, and yelling and holding
guns. Oh, lots of yelling.
Holding guns and punching people and throwing people around. Even that twist of the neck that he did, I winced because that is extremely dangerous. You can paralyze someone for life or kill them by doing that.
I thought he'd actually killed Scorby at that point.
Yeah, well, he could have. He could have, you know, but so it is so un-Doctor Who-like, his performance in this. And so the whole thing went that direction for me, very un-Doctor Who-like. I think that Liz Sladen kind of followed his lead because she, too, played with more energy, more, the way she would be yelling and turning on the Chase and Scorby. You know, so I thought, again, she did an amazing job. She did she was the best I've seen her yet. And I noticed in the direction, the director did a lot of facial close-ups, which really intensifies any scene when you get close in on people. So as much as I admire what was done, because I don't have a problem with any one of the episodes except three, which is a complete filler. All it is a bunch of running around. But I don't have any argument with it. I think
Welcome to Doctor Who.
It kind of stands out as a really, really good production.
Me.
But I don't think it belongs in Doctor Who because it is so violent and dark and
it
negative.
It sure is different, yeah.
It's super scary and everything. I think it should have been... It belongs like with a different series.
I think you've summed up probably what I felt was wrong with it because, I couldn't place it.
I mean, I admired it, but it just isn't Doctor Who for me. And my one comment that I think is kind of funny is when they were trying to get the plants out of the house because the plants were turning on them and, conversing with the crinoid, they were running out there with the pots and placing them very carefully on the patio. And I'm thinking the props department probably paid a lot of money to rent those plants, so they were probably told not to damage them. Yeah. But I mean, worried about these plants attacking you, you would just be chucking them out the door.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where I am. I'm on the fence with this.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
Right. Master?
Yes?
Master, may I ask a favor?
What?
I'm sitting outside of my garage. I would try to open the garage door. It's not opening. Come on. I would like to hear the feedback, but
what
I
feedback?
Would like to transfer to my computer.
Right. What feedback?
Instead of sitting out here.
What, all
he's
the
asking
feedback?
For a break.
He's asking for a
asking
break.
For like a 2 to 3 minute break.
Well, knowing you, Kirby, it'd be about a 20-minute break.
No, my computer's in there waiting.
Oh, is it?
Ooh. The microphone's it's plugged in. It's just ready for me to start Skype.
Does it have a sad face because it's waiting for you?
Probably. Okay.
Well, I'm sure we can fill for 3 minutes, can't we, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
We could also have quite a lot of fun with this particular session.
Right.
Yeah, you have to listen to it to find out what we've been talking about.
So anyway, how's Andy? That's what we're going to talk about.
Andy's been fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Definitely
fine. Yeah.
I just thought there was some blurb that came on the internet not so long ago. I can't speak all of a sudden, probably just as well, in regards to somebody talking about the funniest 20 megabyte podcast episode ever.
Oh, that was Dinos, wasn't he? Because that was when I passed out. I deny that completely, because I do not remember that at all. I have no memory whatsoever of falling asleep in a podcast.
That was brilliant.
I'll take it you have listened to the offending.
It didn't happen. It did not happen.
It did. It was brilliant.
And was it not one the live link up? To...
Yes. Okay, right. I will be totally honest. Yes, it did. It happened.
You were on drugs and you drank.
The show was, thank you, Debbie. It was. I was on drugs at the time because it was just after my operation.
Yeah.
But by the way, I'll have to warn you guys. It looks like I've got to have a new hip operation.
Oh no!
Because my hip is knackered. So,
yeah, they want to change mine as well.
Yeah, well, it's looking more like I've got to have a new hip operation and a new hip. So it's right hand side because my leg is knackered.
Bilingual. You know what I mean?
It's hip, knee.
I'm sitting in the geek room.
Oh, no, right. we're just doing that lovely song, Hands, Knees and Bumpsy Daisy.
Well, it is. It's the whole thing. It's my hip, my knee and my ankle are all basically absolutely
buggered.
All right, yes. Yeah,
they are. They are completely buggered, as you might say. I've got a whole lot replaced.
I think I was trying to allude to, one of the funniest parts of that particular show, and I don't think that wasn't the one that you were drugged up on. That was the next one you were drugged up on. That was the one where you said you wouldn't ask your famous question, and you did. The one where you fell asleep on, you just fell asleep. And the funniest part of it was when I said, we could hear snoring, and I said, Andy, have you fallen asleep? And he went, no, not at all. And then a few moments later... The snoring
Adam, thank
returned.
You for pushing you up with me for that. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that, I mean, you could have kicked me off the podcast. I do appreciate you kept me on for that. But, yeah.
Yes, you're welcome, Andy. Still don't get your point
you,
back.
Thank you, Adam. Adam, I love you deeply.
Right then, now we're going to move on to feedback. And I'm going to get the lovely Mary to read Lillian Robbins' novel that she's written feedback attached to
the
Facebook
feed. Is this the one
Facebook
I get the extra point? I get an extra point here, don't I?
No. Well, you
Why
might
not?
Do. You might do. I don't know. So are you able to read that one, Mary? Are you able to attach yourself to the request that Kirby posted with a big picture of a crinoid on top of a house?
Oh, that one, I've got to find it.
Yes,
I've
it's on the 20 megabyte page, and it's the first posting.
Are you guys able to hear me?
Yeah.
Sadly,
yes. Kirby, we can't hear you at all. We can't hear you, Kirby.
Lillian Robbins saying, sorry, I'm late. What did I miss?
She's on mine?
Yes. Okay. Now she is.
Not a lot, Lillian. Not a lot. No.
She's good for Kurt. She's good for Lillian. She's a great lass.
Yeah, she is.
Well, Lillian,
you would say that.
On the fact that some loved it and some were meh about it.
Well, she can listen to the recorded episode, can't you, Lillian? Right then, moving on. Yes.
Can I butt in? Actually, Debbie, what does Tom think about John Kingston being sacked?
I have no idea. No.
Well, you should come on, give Quinn's fans. What do you think?
I don't know.
Never mind.
Not really.
Right.
Not
Mary.
Sorry.
Mary.
Well, can you ask him, please?
I didn't know. I'll ask him later when he's not.
Mary.
I have found it.
Right. Do your best Lillian Robin voice, and I'll sit back and listen and enjoy, because I haven't read this one.
Having never heard her, she's going to have to sound it up.
All right, my name's Lillian Robin. Hi, y'all.
Yeah, she does live in this area, as far as I know.
Let her get on with it.
Okay, from Lillian Robin. Short feedback this week, because I'm not having a good weekend. I'm fine, just cranky. And Adam, be sure to give Andy an extra point for being
understanding. Yes, get in! I want my points!
As I've said before, I'm not one of the myriads of you, mostly guys, I notice, that will call this story one of the best, sir. Many of you have jumped on my not liking it as sacrilege. We don't all have to like the same stories. One of the great things about your podcast is that we hear from people with differing opinions, and it is always fun when Mary agrees with the rest of you because of all the times she does it.
Yes, thank you,
surprise
thank you,
there.
Lily, you're quite right. That is true. We do disagree. Thank you,
I
Lily.
Don't dislike the story. There are many, many Twin Dilemma, Curse of the Black Spot stories
please.
That are really bad. This isn't anywhere close to being bad. Story-wise, it is a good story. It is just too long. story structure, it is great to split it into the Antarctic and Chase's mansion. But Chase's mansion doesn't hold up for four damn episodes. It should have been the first three-part story, one part in the Antarctic and two parts at Chase's. The Doctor and Sarah are not the Doctor and Sarah. They are Steed and Mrs. Peel, because Robert Banks Stewart seemed to be treating this as yet another Avengers story. Yes, the Doctor has some great lines, but many of those were ad-libs from Tom. The Doctor is much too violent. Mary Whitehouse must have had a field day with this one. But the Doctor is inconsistently violent. I love that this story emphasizes that he would never use a gun, but you also think he has broken Scorby's neck in one scene. Yeah, there you go, Adam. Mm-hmm. I've never seen the Doctor be as much of an action hero as in this one. Jumping through skylights, disarming chauffeurs. Why didn't he take the gun? And almost breaking Scorby's neck. This is not the same Doctor as in the surrounding stories. It stands out as an anomaly. Sarah is great as Mrs. Peel, but my Sarah is not Mrs. Peel. I almost wish she had been more like this in some of her other stories. Yeah, me too. I've no quarrels with the design of the crinoid. It's actually not that bad, and upon this rewatch, I noticed that the reused Axon costume isn't seen as much as I thought it had. UNIT just isn't UNIT without the Brigand Company. Disappointing. So, to my critics, I don't hate it. It's an okay story. Too long. Inconsistent characterizations. It is the least best of a great era in Doctor Who. It is just good when it could have been great. Something had to be the worst during this time. The next bad episode coming up to me is The Invasion of Time, and that is seasons away. I need chocolate. I'm looking forward to your discussion next time about the early incarnation of the Prisoner's Village. This feedback turned out longer than I expected.
Yes, it did.
All right.
And, I can't disagree with anything she says. I do like the Caesar Doom, and I hadn't really noticed the fact the Doctor was a bit more action-packed than... He was more of a John Pertwee sort of Doctor in this story, wasn't he? Which I haven't really got a problem with. And I think Tom Baker's probably a bit fitter than John was when John was doing his action scene. So,
well, yeah. 20 years younger, wasn't
probably,
he?
Probably, yeah.
I totally accept that, you know, that some people might like it and some people might not. It's sometimes when you get to stories like Case of Anzani that you might think, how can you not like it? It's TV brilliance, but some people probably don't. You know, it's like me and Kirby liking. Pardon?
I'm looking forward to watching that. I've never seen The Caves of Androzani.
It's like really? Me and Kirby. That's an absolute classic, Debbie. It really is.
I've seen some of the episodes, but
it's absolutely.
Oh yeah, it's
all right. Steady on.
I'm holding off until.
I really am surprised because it is renowned as one of the classic stories.
It's voted as the second best, at least, behind Genesis of the Dalek. But for me, it's
better
than
Genesis. I've seen the end of it any number of times.
Yes, but it's
We're not reviewing Caves of Androzani. I was just using it as an example.
And that you've chosen something that has caused the conversation. So that's
Watch that, Adam.
Yes, I'm just trying to point out. You've got me and Kirby like Delta and the Gap Bannerman. Everybody else hates it. I don't mind Twin Dilemma, and lots of people hate Twin Dilemma. It's all
Twin Dilemma. How can anyone like the Twin Dilemma?
It's not too bad. It's not as bad as people make it out to be. It's quite cheesy.
I didn't mind the Twin Dilemma.
It is appalling.
What we're trying to establish here,
with the Twin Dilemma, I discovered after hearing that it was horribly bad, that I liked it better than I thought I would.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. what I'm trying to say, what I find interesting is, obviously, there's a few of us have differing opinions of what we like from Doctor Who. But when we get all of us agreeing, I find that particularly interesting. And it doesn't happen very often.
It happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Not very often,
though. It's happened a lot in the past several of our podcasts, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Anyway, Billy Kirkbright says...
There's a lot more feedback going on here.
There is, yes. Mm. Billy Kirkbright says, I think one of the reasons I love this story so much is the fact that it's so different, as you've said, comparing with the characterizations to that of the Avengers, which I failed to mention in my feedback. Oh, has he got me? Sent me some feedback? Better listen to that in a minute. for me, this story is set apart from the rest, which is probably why I like it so much. My feedback wasn't a critique as brilliantly as you've expressed, but more a proclamation fanboy jubilation. Laurie Nix. Laurie Nix says, well said. I enjoyed the somewhat out of character action packedness and ultra violence because it was novel and Baker seemed to be really into it. Or you did. But as Lillian said, out of character Doctor Who. I did not think Sarah was fab, though. Sarah.
No, she says I did think.
Oh, sorry. I did think. Thank you, Mary, for keeping me on track. Point for Mary.
I was going to say, you're going to give her one.
Beg your pardon?
Ooh, that's what she said.
Next. Debbie, this is a family show. I did.
Well said.
I did think Sarah was fab, though. Sarah Peel worked for me, mainly. It was the fleshed-out characterization of...
Sorry.
What?
He flapped his ears.
Of all the other players that made this one special, excepting the unit guys and the bumbling guards. They were funny, weren't they? you all know I plan to retire soon and become the Latina version of Amelia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lastly, Nix's inner drag queen must speak regarding the villain, Harrison Chase. I have so many questions. Never take off those black leather gloves, even when playing your organ in your Green Cathedral. Is that euphemisms for something? You should talk. All that about Bosnai S&M girlfriend.
Bonsai.
What? Bonsai, yeah. Bosnai S&M girlfriend.
Bonsai.
You protest too much. Aha. Jeff Waddle says, it's bloody brilliant. Lynn Robin says, I knew you would say that. Not going to say what Kirby says. And then I'm not going to say what Kirby says. And then he's going...
That's what he didn't say then.
Yeah. And then Robert Haynes says, I love Seeds of Doom. I like how they split the six episodes with two doing the Thing ripoff. Sorry, homage. The rest continues like the normal four-part in the UK. Like the Terror of the Zygons. We have another great lot of incidental music for Jeffrey Bergen.
Yeah, good music in this.
Yeah, a lot of it was really good. There was a couple of weird bits, but most of it was really good. This story gave me the creeps when I was young, especially the scenes of the poor guy mutating. Special mention. Special mention must go to Tony Beckley, who plays superbly Harrison Chase. Such a shame that he died at too young. IRL. What does that mean?
In real life.
John Challis, who is so memorable as Scorby, though now I can't recognise him as Scorby, but Boyce in Only Fools and Horses. Such is his great acting. And that Mulcher?
Mulcher.
A bloody great story. All right, thank you for that. Robert?
That Mulcher.
Isn't it nice having a bit of feedback from Robert Haynes?
Yeah.
That's how it all begun.
Well, we gave everybody a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did indeed. No excuses then.
Billy Kirkbride says, there were many wonderful characterizations in Seeds of Doom, but Amelia took the cake. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. I agree. Yeah. Talking of Billy Kirkbride.
I've met him.
Have you?
Yeah,
okay, The Seeds of Doom by Robert Banks Stewart. Hail Robert Banks Stewart. He did a marvellous job. We all know my take on this story. I've gone on about it long enough, but now I can tell you why, okay? In the 50-year-plus history of Doctor Who, I think it's difficult for a fan to pick a favourite. There's that many good stories out there, there really is. So it's hard to pick a favourite, to be honest. But if I was ever asked what's my favourite story of all time in Doctor Who, I would pick The Seeds of Doom. I would. Anyway, I'll just get some negatives out of the way. I think perhaps maybe towards the end, maybe the last two episodes, the story dragged a bit. and it might have benefited better from a four-parter or even a five-parter. But that's pretty much all, really. But plus, in relation to inconsistency throughout the story, just one thing that's always quizzed me, actually, and that is that when Winlet was infected by the first pod in Antarctica, it was rendered unconscious. Yet when Keeler was infected by the second pod, it was wide awake and he was not rendered unconscious. And maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know why. Maybe I've missed something. But yeah, I've always wondered that anyway. I've always quite wondered why that's the case. But anyway, the reason why I like it is because it's a simple, straight story plot. It really is. There's no convoluted story arc. And that's how I like Doctor Who. I like it straightforward. I like to be able to watch it without having to think too much, okay? That's just how I like it. And this story is just that. It's simple, straightforward, and I love it. I really do. I love its horror element as well. It's well known that Hinchcliffe really hammered the horror element in Doctor Who at this time. But I think, you know, with the concept of the organism taking over the human body and the grotesque nature of that, I think that this is Hinchcliffe's crowning glory at this time. It really is. And I remember, sort of, like I said before, having a couple of nightmares when I was a kid after watching this story. But also, a big element of this story which I really like, and that's the variety of characterization. You know, we've got the camp, megalomaniac villain Harrison Chase, quite sinister. We've got Scorby, the tough mercenary. And we've got Hargreaves, the yes-man butler. Which not a great deal seemed to faze old Hargreaves. He just went along with everything, you know. And we've also got the aristocratic colonel at the end. I love that line of his when they're attacking the crinoid. Hit it fair and square in the chest. Fire.
Fantastic. It should have been the Briggs
stuff.
Line.
It really is. And who can forget Tom Baker in his absolute element in this story with his comedic lines. You know, there are many comedic lines in this story, and there are many stories throughout his tenure where his comic aspect was, you know, it came to the fore quite a lot. But I love some of the lines in this story, and one in particular comes to mind, and that's when the Doctor and Sarah was apprehended by Scorby in Chase's garden and was escorted into Scorby. And in walks the Doctor with a big toothy grin and that stare, and he said, I'm the Doctor. This is Sarah Jane. She's my best friend. Oh, and have you met Scorby? I don't know his first name. Oh, and the two gentlemen over there. He just went on. And then Chase intercepts. Yes, Doctor, we are acquainted. It's great stuff, you know. And wasn't Tom Baker uncharacteristically violent in this story? I mean, he clocks the chauffeur. He almost broke Scorby's neck, and he jumped through the glass roof in the, was it the greenhouse or something, yeah. And he didn't half wield the gun now and again in his story as well, which I thought was quite good, yeah. But I'll say no more other than to say this: pure brilliance. I love it. And if you don't love it, well, what can I say? You've no taste. I'm joking. Anyway, that's it for my lot. Have a fantastic week. Take care.
Well said, Kirby. Yeah. Not
thanks.
Well said, Billy. Well said, mate.
That's Billy, not me.
Yeah, you're right, yes. Billy. Well said, Billy, yeah, mate.
We know it was Billy. We know it was Billy, Kirby, because he actually stopped speaking at some point.
Master.
Yes.
Touché.
I put several links to tours of Athelhafton or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So that, and Lori did have a comment on one of those.
Yeah, go on then.
One of the videos is a great aerial view. Someone took a drone up, and yeah. Lori says, "Looks like that bed bug prob has cleared up since the bombing, or should I say, aphid." Also, I noticed that it's only Athelhafton House is only 58 miles from you.
Marvelous.
Why don't you go visit?
Where is it, Kirby?
Here, I've got a page up about it. Okay. It's in Dorset.
Okay, so that's I'm trying to think, because obviously Admiral, you're not sort of directly opposed. So yeah, that's about Dorset's probably about 800 miles away from us.
Debbie, what do you think about yourself going over today? Because I can't bloody afford to get over to the mainland. What about you then?
I could probably go.
Go on then. Off you go.
Months.
Off you go then.
I'm just always surprised that you guys don't go and see.
Oh, Debbie, we have told you about this awful stretch of water that is between us and China that means that we can't, even on a decent wage, you can't.
How would you like it? You have to basically get a mortgage just to travel to the mainland every time.
Get up the island is impossible. So,
does that make prices higher on the island?
No, yes. Well, only slightly. Yeah. But never mind.
Yeah, with us as well, Kirby, for us, I mean, Dorset's about 100 miles away from us. So, again, you're thinking that's a fair old trek for us.
I just drove to the airport and back 40 miles each way.
Yeah, but petrol's really cheap in America. It's expected.
You're right. I mean,
It's not cheap here.
Kirby, diesel's £5 a gallon. Easily.
Okay. Yeah, and also,
so for us, a hundred miles each way, 200 mile round trip, that's probably talking £40 straight away.
I say a litre of fuel is, well, if you get the cheapest you get it on the island is £1.13 a litre. So you multiply that by enough to get it to a gallon.
Yeah. So that's why it's about six quid a gallon. So for us, a 200 mile round trip is probably talking £40-50.
The government whacks on a massive load of tax on fuel. Yeah. Massive load of tax. Your government doesn't, because that's where it's made.
gasoline, fuel over there in America is so cheap. Over here is so expensive. That's what I'm saying.
It's not that cheap.
It is compared to us. Like I said, a 200-mile round trip is probably £50.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the feedback after that slight deviation.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Yay!
The Seeds of Doom by Robin Banks Stewart. I must know what happens when the crinoid touches human flesh. The assassin should not have driven the doctor to a quarry. That is his natural habitat. The doctor says Chase's electronic music is dreadful. I wonder if they're making fun of earlier Doctor Who music.
Mm.
The story is enjoyable enough and well made. The only character that did not seem to fit was Major Beresford, the unit leader, who was standing in for the Brigadier. Of course, the Triffids spring to mind when considering plants eating humans and taking over the world. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Thank you, Ian.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Anyway, there's only one... There's just one little bit of feedback left to do.
I've had your Facebook Messenger open for the last 10 minutes waiting to see.
I wonder who are we talking about now? Who are we waiting for?
Just while you digest the first few sentences of this, I'm just going to say that Lillian Robbins says Invasion of Time is mixed to me. I'll explain when we get to that one, Alan, because Alan said something about apparently Kirby Drive. I've done that one. I don't know, I'm going backwards and forwards on this one. And then she says, look at the top of my Facebook page, I have the best friend quote there. I don't think that's anything to do with it.
Alan said, so Lillian despises Invasion of Time.
I can't see that bit, I must have missed it. That's not come up on my feed. Never mind. Anyway, Debbie, over to you.
Oh, Debbie, good luck, mate. Good luck.
Let's see how badly I can mess this one up.
This is going to be so much fun, this is.
Putting on a sultry voice. The seminal doom of the vegetarians of Jethro Tull never drilled anything like this.
Jethro Tull, blimey.
Dear 20 megabiters, the Seeds of Doom is, of course, a closely studied challenge to the more...
Oh, excellent.
the vegetarianism, which took hold in a forthright form in the 1970s. It clearly lays out this cultural phenomena is inimical to the human species. Already, not even first paragraph. Harrison Chase's preemptive and, oh my God, Alan,
excoriating
Bonsai rant quickly marks him out as an extremist on vegetational rights. In opposition to this is Amelia Ducat, aesthetic-based appreciation of plants, which not only provides for the exposure of Chase's nefarious involvement, but she also is happy to conspire against this arable agent provocateur. Unit soldiers...
Agent provocateur, actually, if you don't mind.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Agent provocateur.
It's been anglicised. It's fine.
No, it's not. It should be... It's agent provocateur.
Whatever.
Unit soldiers eventually fight back at the creature, which is seemingly beyond control by using a very bright camera flash, thus indicating that heavy educational publicity will help fight the dangers of vegetarianism for an omnivorous species. Even this is not enough, however, so bombing the bejesus out of it becomes necessary. Sorry. It is interesting that unlike many similar stories where the Doctor has ambitions to be an honest broker between a human and alien conflict, there is no thought here about trying to bring everyone to the veggie table. Oh, painful pun.
Oh.
Should be noted that although some might suggest it's a bit cheap... Took you a moment. It should be noted that although some might suggest it's a bit cheap to just paint an axon green and shove it back on screen, but if it's good enough for John Abernethy and the power of Kroll, then why not? We also learn that dodgy car dealer Aubrey Boise Boyce had an even shadier past as an extremist vegetarian henchman called Scorby before being resettled under his assumed name in a unit witness protection program in Peckham, somewhere in the vicinity of Nelson Mandela House in the early 1980s.
Flying right over Kirby and Mary's head.
You bet. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Only fools and horses. All in all, The Seeds of Doom is an entertaining, albeit slightly pedestrian, tale. It has a fairly ripe sci-fi plot with some striking characters, such as Amelia Ducat, one of the Fourth Doctor trademark mature ladies, and Harrison Chase, who I often think of on my commute to work as I turn into the foliage-lined road called Hunter's Race, just north of Chichester. The Crinoids are a tangible threat set up brilliantly by Tom Baker's omniscience acting and some very heavy green makeup. It is perhaps two or four episodes too long, depending on which temperature you prefer the same story to be set in. Next up, Doctor Who and the Renaissance Mandragorian Fancy Dress Party or Count Federico's Revolting Peasants. Those are my thoughts, Andy Butcher. Hey.
Thank you, Alan. Well done, mate.
I can only apologise profusely for absolutely messing up.
What are you apologising for?
That's blooming Alan Butcher for you, Gordon Bennett.
It's Alan T. Butcher, not Gordon Bennett. What have you been going on about?
He is a one-off, isn't he, Butcher?
Right. He is, yes.
When we are done with this, he needs to put those in a book.
Yes.
Does he?
Yes.
We
need to have them written down somewhere. That would be so cool.
Right, or he should post them in a blog or something.
Not yet.
I might ask him if he wants me to write it for him or something.
He doesn't need to. If he sent them to me, they all exist in text form.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. I want to publish my notes that I stopped writing because they're huge. I'd love to do that.
Anyway.
They will be scary.
Anyway, I'm going to pause for the interruption that always happens when I try and introduce the next section of the show. It's now time for this ridiculous dig-a-duck. And even say I was so excited I didn't get an interruption. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Good grief. Mary, who do you think is going to win?
I think Debbie's going to win.
Ooh. And Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Debbie.
Andy, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
Yourself.
Okay,
don't go for me.
Stop arguing.
Right. Go for me.
Mary, who do you think is going to be last?
Me.
Kirby, who do you think is going to be last?
Mary.
Andy, who do you think is going to be last?
Me.
it's interesting. I can't. Oh, it's got. Because I started typing in a completely different answer, I can't think of what it might have been. And Debbie, who do you think's going to be last?
Sorry, Mary. Mary.
Sorry, Mary. Okay. Mary. All right. Okay. So the current scores are.
It's lovely down here.
Current scores are: in last place with -1 point, it's Kirby. In third place, or joint second place, depending on which way you want to look at it, is Mary and Debbie with no points. And in the lead with 1 point, it's Andy.
You gave me a point when I helped you out on that reading.
Didn't I? Yeah, sorry.
You rang the bell.
Yeah,
you
okay. Did. In joint lead, then, is... Yeah, I did. Sorry about that, yes. It's Mary and Andy with 1 point each.
You know, I have to scrabble for every point.
All right, first question goes to Mary, and it is this. What geological object featured in the opening scene?
Like an ice flow?
I'll give you a point. I'll give you a point for that, even though it's close. It's close. Yeah. I'm going to give her a point. I don't care what you say, Debbie. It's a point.
No, it's exactly what a glacier is. I said she's right.
Well, I wanted the word glacier, so I'm going to give you the other point for the glacier. That's the word I was really looking for. But anyway, you got a point there, Mary. Kirby.
A glacier is the ice.
Master.
No, it's iceberg master. Was the word I was looking for, but that's essentially part of a glacier, so it's all the same thing. Yes, Kirby.
Master, quick aside. Lillian on the live feed has asked, did you give Andy his point?
Yes, I gave Andy his point.
I got my point. Yes, I got my point.
If anybody mentions it one more time, the point will be evaporated.
Hey, excuse me. That's not
I'm just telling you what she says.
Thank you. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What colour gloves did the scientist use to extract the pod?
Well, I don't know. So
I've got to play this. What?
Anyone who's decided to go with me for this one, remember, this is the first time I've seen this one.
The answer you were looking for is, I don't know. That's three words. You didn't have to go afterwards.
It's me. Yes, I did.
I do know.
Andy.
Yes, master.
Andy?
Orange.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I thought they
orange,
were red.
Orange, red. That's
good. I thought they were red.
They are a reddy orangey colour.
I wasn't paying attention to the colour of gloves.
They didn't bother, shut up. They didn't bother doing the white balancing and colour correction in those days on television programmes. Orange in this is an acceptable answer, because in one scene they did look orange, but I think they were red. Well, I'm going to give the point to Andy. Anyway, sorry.
Thank you.
Andy, your turn.
Yep, okay.
I think. Hang on. Yeah, well, that was Kirby's question. Was Andy, how long did they estimate the pod had been in the permafrost?
I know.
Joker, 20,000 years.
There we go.
Well, thank you for reminding me about the Joker.
Debbie.
Yeah.
I don't expect to get one this time.
What colour was the Doctor's yo-yo?
Oh, my God. Yellow? Hey!
Debbie, I would have guessed that as well, Debbie. Well done.
I know, that's why I used it. I was like, don't know.
You see, it's the same one he's been playing with. So then
that's what she said. Right then, 1 point in the bonus pot. Come on, 1 point in the bonus pot for this question. Who did the Doctor visit first in the story?
Oh, Jesus.
No, it wasn't Jesus. He wasn't actually in it.
Oh, I think I know.
Go on in, Mary.
Mr. Dunbar.
Yay!
Is the correct answer. Right. So, points after the first round are: in last place with -1 point is Kirby. Joint second place with 3 points each is Mary and Debbie. And in the lead with 6 points is Andy. Right, Mary's question. Who became the first crinoid?
I think I know.
Joker.
Yeah.
Charles Winlet.
Is the correct answer. And Kirby.
Master.
Who greeted the Doctor and Sarah Jane as they arrived in the Antarctic?
I know.
I don't know.
And
I warned you guys.
I don't care. Debbie knows.
Mobberly.
Of course, you would have got an extra point if you'd said Derek Mobberly. But that is the correct answer. Right, Andy. Hang on. That was Kirby. Yep. Andy's question is, what logo did John Stevenson have on his jacket?
called Ecology.
No, I sort of know, but I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
If I had the video running.
Well, you haven't, so the answer therefore is.
We're waiting for the video.
No, it's too late. Javelin is the answer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What tactic did Scorby use to gain the upper hand at the camp?
I know.
The camp?
Yeah, the base then.
I know.
No idea.
Okay. Therefore, Kirby knows.
He disabled the rifle. Yay!
He's his own little.
He unloaded all the guns and disabled the rifle, like you said. That's correct, right? Right, 4 points in the bonus pot. Who was the? What was the artist's name?
Ducat.
No, that's not a full name then. All right, what was the full name?
Amelia Ducat.
Thank you, Mary.
Sorry, we should have made Mary the winner.
Right, so after that round, the current scores are Kirby in the lead. That was a joke, wasn't it? In the last place with no points, Kirby. In third place with 4 points, Debbie. In second place with 6 points, Andy. In the lead with 11 points, Mary. This is Mary's question.
I would never.
Go for it.
Go for it, Mary. Yeah, go, Mary.
Yeah, wait till it's my turn.
Yeah, this is your turn now. What make of car was Ms. Ducat's picture founded?
I think, I know, but you beat me to it.
Her car, wasn't it the Daumier?
I think that's close enough. Anybody going to object to that?
We don't have those here. How is that pronounced?
Daimler. That's fine. Yeah, I think we're going to get the
other one. Daimler, yeah.
I'm going to give you that one because that's fair enough. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What was the painting of?
I know.
I don't know.
Ooh.
I know too.
Apparently, Mary knows.
The Filaria Milagros.
Andy.
Yep.
I'll give you an extra question here. Obviously,
I only know because I must have replayed that one little section about 20 times because I don't have
this question relates to your answer. This is they also said the doctor said the English name of that particular plant that she's painted. Andy, what was that
name? It's like Floricum Requiem.
Unfortunately, no. That is not the right answer.
No, I know.
Go on in, Mary. Mary?
Common snake's head fritalia. Something like that.
Fritillary.
Fritillary? Okay.
It's spelled FRITILLARY.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you, Smarty
Pants. I got
Pants.
Most of it.
Thank you, Smarty
Pants. Yeah, without captions, it's hard to know.
I know. I looked it up.
Then you should have taken that one.
That's okay.
Okay. I've lost where I was. What was your question? What was your question at last round, Kirby? Because I've lost my plot now.
Well, the last question you just asked was...
No, I know that, but what was the last question I asked Kirby?
I don't know.
No.
Wasn't this an everybody question?
No, it's mine. It's my question.
Oh, okay.
So what was the last question I asked you, Kirby?
I don't remember.
Okay. I've lost where I was.
Are you picking questions?
I think I might have missed Kirby somewhere along the line.
No, you asked me a question I couldn't answer. Like
that's right then. Right, so therefore, this is Debbie's then.
You're in road. Don't Debbie. Worry, Adam. You're in road.
Debbie?
Yeah? Yes?
Right. How many lumps of sugar did Keela like?
I know.
Two.
Oh, good grief. I just about started playing that. That was... Just about to start playing the countdown music.
Yeah, I should have done that. Sorry.
Yes, you should have done it. Yes. Okay. 2 points in the bonus pot for this question. What was Chase's butler's name?
Oh, I know.
Mary said, I know. Then Kirby said the name. So that's going to be awkward. Blast.
Yeah, how do you want us to do that?
I know.
Did you just shout the answer or just say I know?
I think Mary's
probably just
wins.
To say I know, really, because then we can, yeah, if you get the answer
Mary,
wrong.
Mary wins it.
Yeah.
So what's the answer, Mary?
Hargreaves. but we do need direction. If you want,
I'll give Kirby a point though.
Do we say I know, or do Thank we just shout the
just
answer?
Say I know,
because he's actually accepted both in the past.
Yeah, because
that really did.
This is one of those weird times where
all right,
someone
tell you
said
what.
I know, and someone said it.
I'll give you both 2 points. Aren't I generous?
Yes.
Yes. Right.
Thank
so
you, sir.
The scores
but
are
going
last,
forward. What do you want?
In last place. Yeah, going
saying
forward,
I
what
know.
I want, just to underline this, we say, I know, and then I'll say who said that or whatever, and then they will give me the answer.
Who said right, that?
In last place, with 2 points, it's Kirby. In joint second place, with 6 points each, it's Andy and Debbie, and in the lead with 17 points, it's Mary.
Wow.
Right, Mary, your question.
Hang on a minute. Are you not meant to now call her Smarty Pants, Mary?
Clever Clogs.
Yeah. There you go.
Mary.
Yes.
Keeler injected 15 grams of what into the pod?
Nitrogen.
I'll give you a point for that. It's not exactly... It's part of the answer, but not all of it.
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
Fixed nitrogen.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that.
Which it's apparently a real thing that you do to help plants.
Well, but you know, earlier in the story, they said nitrogen doesn't affect it; only sunlight does.
Ah,
inconsistency. You expect consistency?
Right, Kirby.
Master.
As Scorby said, "Spread out, you idiots!" to his colleagues. What statue was nearby?
I know.
Queen Joker, Queen Victoria.
Wow.
Correct.
Which is still there if you look at some of the videos I've posted.
Marvellous. Andy.
Okay.
What meal did Chase order Keeler crinoid, as in Keeler when he's turning into a crinoid? What meal did Chase order him?
Breakfast.
Why are you sounding suddenly like you're on a very poor hands-free thing? Go on then, Andy. Mary. Sorry, Debbie.
Is it something to do with protein absorption from the animal?
Not
no.
What I'm looking
wrong,
for.
Don't worry.
No, it's... No, the answer is raw meat, to be fair. That was quite a simple one, really.
That was easy.
Right. Debbie.
Yeah?
Have you played your Joker?
No.
No. Therefore, this is your question.
Right.
Play your Joker.
What colour hat did Dukar wear? On her visit to Chase.
For God's sake.
I don't know. brown?
Brown.
I know. No.
Right, hang on. I've got to put something in the bonus pot. And Mary?
It's red.
Oh, for God's sake.
It is indeed red, yes. Right, there's 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Who was Miss Dukar's chauffeur on that visit?
I think I know.
Oh, yeah, go on in.
Was it Sir Colin?
Here's the correct answer.
I was trying to picture who inside that car.
Yeah, there's Dunbar and Thackeray in the car.
Yeah.
Yes. Which one was it?
Dumber
was
and Dumber, yes. In last place, with 6 points each, it's Andy and Debbie. In second place, with 7 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead, with 22 points, it's Mary.
How did that happen?
Mary,
go. I don't know.
Mary, attention.
Mary, this is your question. Mary.
Yes.
Who was the crinoid's first meal?
Oh, yeah.
I
think I know.
Wait.
I think I know.
Oh, I can't remember, so I'll pass it on.
Right then, so that goes over to Andy.
Oh, now I know.
Sergeant Henderson?
Yeah. Was it? No, I don't think it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was
Sergeant Henderson.
No, I would think he went out. He went out of the house and ate Dunbar. That was his first meal.
Yeah.
So you both got it wrong. So
Oh, because he was still in the house.
So I've got to play this. Okay, right. Kirby's question.
When you say the crinoid, I'm thinking outside.
No, you don't, because only the first two people come in. But bad luck, Kirby. Nice try. Right, Kirby.
Master.
I've lost where I was. Right, here we go. How big could the crinoid grow?
Bloody big.
Oh, I think I know.
Oh, I got a thing.
I know.
Go on, Kirby.
The size of St. Paul's Cathedral.
Yes, it was. It was important.
Got there in the end. Yes. Right, Dandy.
Yep.
What was the crinoid's first words? Probably only words, actually, for that matter.
I know.
I have absolutely no idea. Okay.
Kirby knows.
The human was Keeler, now us, now belong.
All right, thank you.
Oh, get the man a script.
Actually, I shouldn't really give him the points for that.
Why?
Because hear this, humans, is what he said first, so I'm not going to give that.
Oh, pedants.
Sorry. What am I saying sorry? I just the right answer. So, Kirby, it's... right. Whose question was that?
It's mine.
Right, so this is Debbie's question.
Oh, God.
Still hasn't played her joker. From where did Scorby throw his petrol bomb?
I think I know.
Blah, 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 blah. From the greenhouse?
Yeah.
Is it the first floor?
Yes. Was.
I'm not having a good day.
No, you're
I mean,
not.
Upstairs, I assume.
First floor window would have sufficed.
They were in the cottage.
Yes.
There's a second floor.
Indeed. Right. Bonus pot.
The second floor will be a third floor.
Never mind. 5 points in the bonus pot. Who did the doctor meet with Sir Colin at the World Ecology Bureau?
I think I know.
Going in, Mary.
Is that Major Beresford?
Yes, it is.
My goodness.
Right. So the points are. In last
I'm
points was 6 points.
You've won before.
In last place was 6 points, Debbie. In third place was 7 points, Andy. In second place was 9 points, Kirby. In the lead were 27 points, Mary.
Yo, go Mary.
Go Mary.
Yeah, but I'm not going to game
it. It could all go wrong. Right, Mary, your question. right. Where was the Brigadier, Mary?
I know.
He was in Geneva.
Of course.
Kirby.
Having a long vacation.
Yeah. Master?
Who accompanied the doctor back to the house?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I know.
Hang on, I've got to put a point in the bonus spot. Go in there, Mary.
Sergeant Henderson.
See, I told you I didn't know.
Andy.
Go ahead.
How did the doctor and the soldiers rescue Sarah and Scorby?
Well, basically, they dragged them out to the shrubbery.
No, not specifically, no.
No.
Anybody?
Can I guess?
Yes, you can.
With that laser weapon?
Pardon?
With that laser weapon?
No, it wasn't that either. No. They squirted a substance on it, which I presumed is weed killer.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Debbie.
Yes?
Finish Chase's line. You'll pay for this, blank, blank.
You'll pay for this, blank, blank.
Yeah, the blank words, the two words.
I think I know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm looking through. I did have some notes. Not many. Hmm. Well, I'm not getting anywhere, am I? No.
Who said... I can hear myself coming back. And that good?
Kirby.
Kirby.
You'll pay for this, animal fiends.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. That's going to make the game interesting. Right then, so... that was your question, Debbie, wasn't it? It's 4 points in the bonus pot.
And I've still not used my joker, so there you go.
You can use your joker on bonus pot questions, Debbie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only a little answer.
Here we go. Here's the question. How did the soldiers distract the crinoid, saving Sarah, the Doctor, and Scorby?
Oh, I think I know.
Go on then, Mary.
Isn't that with the laser thing? The laser weapon?
It was. Okay, so the points are, at the moment, not many questions left. In last place with 6 points is Debbie. Bing. Third place with 7 points, Andy. Second place with 11 points, Kirby. In the lead with 34 points, it's Mary. So Mary's question...
No, Mary!
Defying all expectations.
Mary.
Yes.
Who
yes.
got minced?
I think I know, yeah.
We've answered that one.
Well, it was yeah. that... It was that dead soldier.
Who was?
Yeah, what? Well, yeah, it was him. Yeah, it was him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name?
Was that Henderson?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What aren't the answer to everything, or isn't the answer to everything?
What?
What, according to the doctor?
Sir, can you explain that question, please?
It's part of the script.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah?
Bullets and bombs aren't the answer to everything.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Right, Andy.
Yep.
How did Scorby die?
I know.
He was basically trapped by the planets, wasn't he?
The pond weed.
Yes. Yeah, he was drowned by the weeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one.
In the river Piddle.
Yeah, thank you for that. Debbie.
Seriously, that's the name of the river right
Debbie.
There.
Debbie.
Yes.
Right. Probably your last chance to play a joker on this question.
Yeah.
Mm. What was Bereford's section called?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah, Joker Scorpio section.
Yay! Yep. Good for you,
Dad. Got there in the end.
Yay!
Thought it was never going to happen, but it did. Right, there's 3 points.
Oh,
sorry,
God.
Three questions left. So they're all free-for-all questions, okay? Remember, it's I know, okay?
Okay.
The scores are as follows. In last place with 9 points, it's Andy. In third place with 10 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 13 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 36 points, it's Mary. Free-for-all question number one. Why couldn't Sarah reach the button?
Oh, I know.
Yeah?
Because her hands were tied.
Is the correct answer. My bell's really not working very well today. Second free-for-all question. What did Red Leader intend to turn the crinoid into?
I know.
Yeah?
Chop suey.
And the final free-for-all question is, what is the Doctor president of?
Oh, I know.
Go on then, Mary.
Intergalactic Floral Society.
Yeah.
Here's a great answer.
I've got over 40 there.
So the scores before adjustments are, in last place with 9 points, Andy. In third place with 12 points, Debbie. In second place with 13 points, Kirby. And in the lead with 40 points, it's Mary. Right.
Yes, well done, Mary.
Well done, Mary. Good for you.
Thank you.
Mary predicted Debbie to win. She remains on 40 points. Mary predicted Mary to be at last, so remains on 40 points. Kirby predicted Debbie to win, so remains on 13 points. And Mary to be last, so remains on 13 points. Andy predicted Kirby to win, remains on 9 points. And Andy to be last, which doubles his score to 18.
Oh, fuck.
Debbie predicted Kirby to win, 12 points, and Mary to be last, 12 points. So the final scores, and this week she won't get this one.
I'm last around.
In last place with 12 points, it's Debbie. In third place with 13 points, it's Kirby. Second place with 18 points, it's Andy. But the winner this week with 40 points, it's Mary.
Yeah, well done, Mary. Well, Mary.
Confuse all your predictions.
That's brilliant,
Mary.
Thank you.
Yes, the Facebook feed, it's not updating for me, although the video's still running, so I don't know if we've got any further comments on there or not. Anybody seen anything come through? Nope, it's not a quiz question.
Ellen T. Butcher.
What do you
say? Says Mary Mary, quite contrary to expectations.
I'll tell you what, if people do their predictions in the way they normally do and Mary wins the quiz, Mary's always going to win the quiz. Just like to point out. But that was true. An outstanding performance.
I have to play stupid for
no
several
one has
weeks
ever got then. 40 points before the, the calculation.
Lillian also said, yay, Mary.
Oh, well, thank you, Lillian.
This goes down in the history books of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Not the fact that Mary won, because she has won in the past, but it's the style of the victory.
Rarely, very rarely.
Right, Master?
Yes?
Well, this is actually for everyone. Mm. You guys need to pay attention if you're predicting me.
Yeah.
If I haven't seen a story in 38 years, don't expect me to win.
Yeah, but that, you said that in the past and still won, so shut your face.
You just watched it.
Yeah, I just watched it, but it's not something that I've watched enough to have absorbed.
Okay. Kirby, who among us has won a Doctor Who scarf?
Alan.
From the quiz, who has a Doctor Who scarf?
And who's usually so knowledgeable, it's annoying.
Maybe we would have tried a bit harder if I'd said there was a scarf up for grabs in this particular episode. Right.
But still, I was not familiar with this story until about 2 weeks ago, so...
Anyway, Doctor Who News.
And I plan to watch it a lot more because I liked it.
It's very good, Kirby. Thank you. Doctor Who News. I do love the banner of the Doctor Who News.net page, the new rearrangement of all the Doctors they've done. They're at the top of the page, and they've worked Capaldi into the old sort of 11 Doctors artwork they did for the anniversary. I tried to work Capaldi into it. Didn't work it anywhere near as good as they've done it on this. And they've got the TARDIS on the right-hand side. They've got the 13th Doctor. They've done a really, really good job with that. Impressed. But on with news. There's a Lethbridge Stewart 50th anniversary novel collection coming out. There's so many of them that I'm not going to read them out. There's vinyl releases of the Tomb of the Cybermen audio and City of Death audio. I presume they're books of some variety. I'm not quite sure. BBC is making Record Store Day 2018 by releasing the soundtrack of Doctor Who stories on vinyl for the very first time. Road to the 13th Doctor. Titan Comics and BBC Studios have announced Road to the 13th Doctor, a three-part comic event beginning this July and leading to Titan's all-new 13th Doctor ongoing comic series launching in the autumn. So if you like your comics, it's rather exciting. Hey, Sheldon. Okay. Original Unearthly Child script was up for auction on April the 10th. I wonder what that went for in the end. Any ideas? No, nobody doesn't say.
It's being auctioned next month, so that'll be auctioned in May.
It hasn't sold yet.
Oh, it hasn't sold yet. Well, that'd be interesting. I hope they do actually say how much it's sold for. But, you know, that's really about it, because the rest of the other bit of news on there, which was about Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat and Paul Cornell signing copies of Target books, because obviously they've done brilliantly. Target books of modern Doctor Who. And I did mention on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group that, of course, Russell T. Davies...
Which you can join.
Yes. Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat were together on the Graham Norton radio show at the weekend discussing the books they've written for that particular... I think Russell T. Davies wrote Rose, the novel, and is it Day of the Doctor, I think, was written by Stephen Moffat.
And they also met Michael Grade there.
Yes, that's right. Michael Grade, he was there talking about some completely different subject. I can't remember what it was now.
The picture of them glaring at him was great.
Yeah, it was really good. But I think Michael Grade he's been on a few programs recently. He was on Larry Grayson's tribute program about his life. And
has he ever apologized for canceling the show?
No. Why should he? No, nope, there you go. All right, so that's a sad
story. It should have been cancelled.
You know, well, they did, and I think it needed the break it had, to be fair. It was a great shame it was cancelled for so long. Maybe it was a little bit too long, but it did need a break and a new direction and a new load of producers and stuff. So I think in hindsight, it was probably better for the series to have its break. I don't want it to have another one, of course, but I think that could be on the cards as well. So that's it for Doctor Who News. Lavazzi.co.uk.
Well, mate, they have great scarves.
It's funny, yeah.
Terrific.
Tell you what, I mean, if you're a doctor, you really do need to buy a Lavazzi scarf, at least. But they don't just have scarves. They have a load of Doctor Who things, like the fifth Doctor jumpers and seventh Doctor pullovers. Beautiful. And you can get in their sale a couple of umbrellas, a TARDIS umbrella and a TARDIS on a sort of alien landscape umbrella. Those have been knocked down to $21.99 for the TARDIS one and $16.99 for the Time Lord landscape one. Ooh, very good. Ties, you can get a necktie that looks like the fourth Doctor's scarf. And I'll talk about the fourth Doctor's scarf. I did watch Big Bang Theory series 4 episode, whatever it was. I don't know. It's when they all went to the comic store for New Year dressed as the Avengers. What they call them? What's that film? Oh, the Justice League. Sorry, the Justice League. Mm. And the bloke who runs the comic store was dressed as the fourth Doctor.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yes.
We've just lost Andy, by the way.
Oh, well. And you can also get them knitted, a knitted TARDIS tie in a lovely little presentation box. Yes. So that's whowon.co.uk now. Interested to see what they've got coming up.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Mm. Hooray!
Actually, it's much the same as last time, although you can now get the target novel of Day of the Doctor by Stephen Moffat. That's already available for pre-order, actually, so you can get it. You can order it. And, of course, Rose by Russell T. Davis is also available for pre-order, along with a plethora of Big Finish titles, such as Heliac's Rift, a fifth Doctor story. Death of Captain Jack, I mentioned last time, so I don't know whether he can die, really, because he's supposed to be immortal. That's a Torchwood story, and Churchill Years. And also there's other stuff that is available to buy now, like Christmas Invasion by Jenny T. Colgan. Wasn't the original of that written by Russell T. Davis? That's a cut Target book. And City of Death. Was that? Of course, that was never released, was it, as a Target novel? But now it is, written by James Goss. And you can get a lovely Dalek lamp, $15.99, and a Dalek squeezy for $6.99. And, of course, Doctor Who magazine, 524. If you're not in Britain, you can get much quicker ordering through whowon.co.uk. There's an audio annual too, as well. Six more thrilling stories of adventures in time and space from the original Doctor Who annuals, larger than life and twice as colourful. That's quite cool. It's a CD containing some Doctor Who annuals. So there you go. Talking about annuals, actually, moving away slightly from Doctor Who. Alicia is moving home. Yes, Alicia is moving home, said with much trepidation and hope in some ways. And we've spent the whole weekend getting rid of stuff. Because a room, which is the attic bedroom, was turned back into an attic for 2 years. So now it's trying to turn it back into a bedroom. And in the course of clearing stuff out, I found my 1974 Star Trek annual, which is something it's really worn out and stuff, but it's quite precious to me because I remember reading it over and over again when I was a kid, and I was absolutely delighted to find I still had it.
1974? Wow.
What are you saying? Why are you saying it like that, Kirby?
Well, because that was only a few years after the show had been on.
Yeah, well, it would be, wouldn't it? I loved Star Trek, and that's why they got me for Christmas 1973, the 1974 Star Trek annual. And
the show had only been cancelled for 4 years at that point.
I know, Kirby.
Yeah, it's rare.
Well, it's not. I don't think it's. Well, shall I eBay it and see how much is it? It's worth then, shall I? Okay. eBay. We haven't done the eBay item for a long time, have we?
Oh wow! Peeps. Yeah, I remember when that was a regular thing.
Yes, but we haven't.
Dying out when I turned up. I must have been the death knell.
You were, yes.
Thanks.
Okay, Star Trek Annual 1974. There it is. Oh, it's really rare. Not. Yes,
oh.
You can get it for 99p with no bids, or you can get it pre-owned. Oh, not £1 with no bids, or you can get, and these are all better condition than my one, £3.99 in very good condition. And £7. None of these have got bids against them. Last item.
Well, maybe I ought to get one because
you
I want
to get one. Would you like me to post an expensive link to a one in really good condition?
Or, no.
Yeah. Let's try this one. That's £1.
I don't know how much it would cost for me to get it from Britain. See, I suspect it's more expensive
I wouldn't have thought it's going to be that much. America. Might be able to get it in America, Kirby.
Never know. Here we go.
Yeah, there we go. I'm just posting it straight to the 20 megabyte page to make people wonder why I'm doing it. There we go.
What year was it?
1975. I've just posted a link to it on the 20 megabyte page.
No, I'm looking at our own eBay. What?
1974.
What?
1974, yes. Star Trek Annual.
Oh, okay. Is this the Star Trek Comic Annual?
Yes.
Okay, $1.39. Okay.
Ooh, really, it's quite rare, that one, Kirby, isn't it?
You can get three of them, 1974, 76, and 78, for $11.
Yes. Well, I think we managed to finish the article we normally do on the sponsors. But I was just now curious, just while I'm here and on eBay, I've changed the way it looks. I'm trying to work out how to get the most expensive item list. Oh, here we go. Found it now. Highest price. There we go. So the highest listed, it's not even Doctor Who. It says massive Doctor Who, Gerry Anderson, Star Wars, Trek, Harry Potter figure collection, £35,000. I think it's a bit like those figures you had of that one of Perry, actually, but I'm not going to even talk about that one. But it says here, here's one for you, Kirby.
Yeah.
Doctor Who screen used prop, Spider from Planet of Spiders, John Pertwee, 1974. £11,500. There's 75 people watching that. There you go.
Any bids?
No, people watching it though, so probably will be bids towards the end of the auction. There's also a Mercedes Spinter 313 LWB Doctor Who artwork Euro 5 diesel Poz camper van conversion. There's a picture of Rose and the 10th Doctor on the side of it. That's £5,795 if you want that one, Kirby.
No.
Or you could have a William Hartnell First Doctor £5 note, rather curiously put in at £5,400. Do these people have brains? We also should scroll down the list and try and find the item that has actually got the most bids against it. I don't think Doctor Who's in the forefront of people's thoughts at the moment, so therefore I'm not going to bother doing that because there's not a lot of people getting bids against them. I'll be here for hours trying to find something with a bid against it. We could actually look at the interesting items. I'm not even going to do that. But yeah, I'm going down to the stuff that's about £300. Somebody's got a Doctor Who cast multi-signed photo with Tennant, Agyeman, Tate and Starkey in it, and they've got it listed at £299. Would you and there's three of them. Would you spend £299 on a signed photo? I'm only really interested in autographs if they're dedicated to myself, not if they're just random autographs. Unless it's on someone like Tom Baker, you know, because I've never met Tom.
My Tom Baker one is just says Tom Baker.
Deb, we talk about that stuff when we were looking for the old stuff. Deb found an autograph book. With lots of dead people in it now, but the one of the people in it that's still alive was Peter Davison. It was him as the Doctor, signed by Peter Davison. I thought that was quite an interesting one in itself.
Oh,
indeed. Does that not surprise everybody that she has a signed picture of Peter Davison as the Doctor when he was the Doctor, and I don't. But if you look at it another way, I do have a signed picture of Janet Fielding when she was the Doctor's companion so at the same time that Deb was getting that signed picture of Peter Davis and I was getting a signed picture of Janet Fielding, so that's quite spooky, isn't it? No? Okay, it's not spooky at all.
Why didn't you go after Peter Davison?
Because I've never met Peter Davison. I don't know how she used to send off for them or she met him. I don't know. She didn't really allude to how she ended up with this or whatever. If I had to send off for Janet Fielding, so I wrote a letter to her because I was so absolutely gutted that she'd left Doctor Who. Turned out she hadn't. So there you go. because it was the end of, you know, she gets left behind at the end of her first series in Doctor Who. And I was absolutely gutted. But fortunately, in her letter back, she says, I return. And she did. So that's it then, really.
No.
Yes, yes.
If you wanted to decide to, I don't know if you saw on the Facebook page, the thing that Lillian posted yesterday.
What about, is it anything to do with...
David Tennant keeps a really weird prop in his house.
Oh, that one, yeah.
No, don't read it.
Okay, I won't. Anyway,
it
right.
It's a really weird prop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to look at that at the moment. But anyway, listeners, if you want to join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who for Podcast Facebook group, you may indeed. You're welcome to join it. And like Lillian did, become part of the family, part of the makeup of the show, because the show is nobody without its listeners. Isn't that right, everybody?
Absolutely.
We are somebody without our co-presenters. I don't know where Andy's gone. But we are nobody without our listeners. So thank you for
Why don't
listening.
You text him and find out?
Because we're just about to finish the show and it doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't done the welcoming people to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group for quite a while. So I thought I might have a go at that. But again, they've changed the way the page looks. And I don't know how to change it to view the order of memberships. That's really going to... Yeah, let's scupper that. Why have they changed it, Kirby?
They like doing that, don't they?
I like looking at things in order, so I can't even do that.
That's the way of doing it.
Oh, wait, I'm joined. I found it. Found it. Got it.
Okay.
Mark Sharp joined last Monday. So, welcome, Mark. Ava Fuller joined in March. Keel Harris, also in March. Keith Barnfather, a while back. And Lillian, as we've mentioned previously, along with Johnny Jackson King, Josh Crump, Paul Slade, David Buttell, and Helen Michelle Baggett, who I think I owned. I added, she's a clever person who attends Isle of Wight Comic Con. Oh, did I mention Isle of Wight Comic Con?
Not yet.
Just did. Daryl Kelly, April Turner, who is the cosplay queen of the Isle of Wight, did a photo shoot with her not so long ago. She's quite pretty. Des O'Gorman, who's a very, very funny chap from Ireland, who dresses everywhere as a Ghostbuster. And, of course, Ben Allen, who is the Isle of Wight's king of the Stormtrooper. Is he not, Debbie?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, he leads a team of Stormtroopers around the Isle of Wight. Raising loads of money for charity. He also does very long walks dressed in his costume as well. Will Marpas, Brett Summers, and Alex Watts, who is Natalie DeGrucci's boyfriend and a very funny chap as well. Not quite as funny as me, but he doesn't know that. And of course, moving further down, Artie Race, who very kindly posts her artwork on the 20 Megabyte page quite regularly. Emma McIntyre, who was a bit of a secret Doctor Who fan, but... we did a wedding not so long ago. She's very good at doing food as well. She's a caterer. Jodie Neil Ruth, added by Kirby Bartlett Sloan in October. So we have really been bad in welcoming these people, like Tim Drury. Never heard of him. Carl Jones, Benny Belton.
You've heard of Tim Drury.
I'm being facetious, Kirby.
Okay.
Ben Belton, who runs the Isle of Wight Comic Con. Lacey Archer, who has a TARDIS in her room. Ryan McIntyre, who's a bigger Doctor Who fan than his wife, Emma McIntyre. Adam Stone, Glenn Wilkinson, Kevin Lane, Paul Michael Woodman. All these people are in the room. Dennis Jones, who's my work colleague's boyfriend, who's got his hand in every pie going in the Isle of Wight. Paolo Rail Compass. Actually, I've got to do an interview with Dennis, he says. I don't think that'll ever happen. Patty Tiller. Jessica Huff, Christian Ainscough, David McGarver, David William King, Yvonne Moody Bond, or Bond Moody, Mooney Bond. She's one of Deb's cousins. Very nice lady. She's from Ireland, but she did live in Australia. And she sent me a picture while she was in Australia of a Dalek roving the streets of Australia. Enrico Diatelli.
Dangerous?
No, they killed it. Dan Campbell, Rick Chagori Brindle, Michelle Kruckelman, and that's as far as I'm going, because I'll be here all night. There's hundreds of people there. Yeah, there's so, yes, we've got 472 members.
Yeah, that's interesting. Of the most recent ones going back a few, two of them are actually close to me.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
I've never met them. Right. Ava Fuller and Lillian.
Yes.
And there's one that's actually close to me.
Yes.
And John Nasta.
Oh, have you met him?
No. Oh. We intended to when there was going to be the convention here in Dayton.
Yes.
But the convention never happened, so we never met.
Is it likely that it might happen at some point in future?
No. No.
That's a shame.
They're trying to get another one together, but it would probably happen in a city other than Dayton.
Oh, it's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
What's wrong with Dayton? I've been in Dayton twice.
Hmm. Have you?
A long time.
How many years ago?
1984, maybe.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm going to close the show because I want to go and have a bath and then watch another episode of Star Trek Voyager. Still in Series 2 at the moment, but I'm loving every minute of the show at the moment. And, we're going to record.
Okay, wait, now that I'm no longer in the car.
We're recording next week, but not the week after, Kirby. Yeah.
Okay, Mask of Mandragora next week.
And then
that's the
And Affair on
29th.
The 13th of May.
What? 13th of May.
Hand Affair on the 13th of May.
Hand Affair. And then when's the next one?
Good Lord. Some win in June.
For another 2 or 3 weeks.
I think June the 3rd, I think, was the next available date after that.
Oh, my goodness.
So one episode in May and one in June.
Might have to do some filler stuff in that time. Well, I don't know.
I'll help if you need any.
Yeah, that'd be
so
good.
June the 3rd would be...
What's
the name of the episode?
Hand of Fear?
No, after Hand of Fear.
Oh, well, that would be the Deadly Assassin, I would imagine.
Deadly Assassin, right. Thank you.
Right then. Anyway, I'm sorry Andy disappeared, but on behalf of Andy, goodbye. But on behalf of myself, you lot can say goodbye as well. Anyway, thank you for listening, watching, and doing stuff while you shouldn't be doing them. I'm rambling. Goodbye.
Bye, fancy pants.
Bye, everyone. I'll see you all later.
What was that?
The 20 Megabyte.2 podcast is an APV Services production. sponsored by whowon.co.uk and navazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.